Okay, great. Are you two familiar with the professional learning community?
Yes, this is about our fourth or fifth session we've listened in on.
So you've been in on it. So what we're doing is having these informal discussions regarding all of the aspects of job training programs, environmental job training programs. Did someone just join?
Yes, Cherie from California.
Hey, nice to have you in on the conversation. We tried to discuss informally the job training program, starting them up, how to keep them sustainable, some of the issues that you might have in starting one. And then associated with the EPA program, we also look, and as the new RFPs come out, we start to track how to write successful proposals. And I'm with the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute, and we help EPA work with the grantees. We have an annual conference every year. Do you all have a program going yet?
We do.
Great.
You may remember us. We were Brownfield, and we were training. We were in the training aspect of Brownfield.
Oh, great. Do you want to describe your program a little bit?
Yeah, we are. We've had one cohort go through, and what we're basically doing is providing training in different areas. We're doing the hazmat. We're doing small space confinement. We're doing, I'm trying to remember all the trainings that we're currently doing. But anyways, and then we're also helping the participants find employment, preferably with green jobs. And so far we've had 7 participants go through the program, and I think we have 4 people with jobs at this point.
Great. It's a very tough job market. And are you planning on going to the annual meeting in August in Alexandria?
Yeah, we're not sure yet.
Oh. We've actually been to the – we had gone to one last year.
Okay.
Our 2 people from our organization participated in the workshops and gathered the information and submitted the petition for the grant, and we are the only Corps in California that did receive the grant.
Wow.
So we're treading new territory, and we're participating in hopes to find specifically how to target industries.
Mm-hmm.
Once we know how to train. We're a training facility with our youth corps, and we are familiar in that aspect. What we're finding to be challenging is directing the training to the correct industry. We're hoping to take away a study assessment. So our green jobs could be targeted to the correct industry for our area.
Right.
That's what we had hoped to take away. I think it was the session before last, and I've been on the site, and I haven't seen anybody post any kind of information that would be helpful in that to hold a study assessment. We ourselves were able to, but we wanted somebody with experience in the brownfield to give us a little bit more guidance in how to select the correct courses to offer and job develop with our core members, given that they are young adults.
Right. What we're going to do the next session is we're going to do job recruitment and placement, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about it now, because I think that's, while this is your interest at this moment, let's speak a little bit about that. And we're going to talk a little bit about funding sources today, federal funding sources. But we find that the job training programs that are most successful have been able to identify key industries in their community.
LBPS now offers appointments for the following services: plan check, plan submittal, plan
recheck,
and plan pickup. To schedule your appointment, call 562-570-LBPS.
Someone put us on hold, I think, or something.
Oh.
Can you Can you all hear me? Okay.
Did you know that the
we
Long
may
Beach
have to speak
Airport
above that. Maybe
one
someone
of the
put
least
us on hold
airports in California,
for a
providing
second.
Direct flights throughout the United States.
Anyway, what we'd like to do is, well, let's talk about above the
Alaska
Airlines,
above
the chatter
Air,
in the background,
Allegiant, Delta
what the
Airlines,
best way to
Airlines,
Airways, zero in on those
US
industries
Airways.
That you just talked
for
about.
Information,
and
LGB.
One of the things we find that the most successful is that they're able to
Landscape
find partners,
is limited to only three
specific
days
industries
per
in their areas.
Remember
that
only
require
Monday,
graduates.
Thursday,
and usually that's an environmental firm. We do that in the labor market assessment. We try to identify a industry or two or
Are
three industries
the ages of
that will work with the school, and they actually identify with the program. Last week I was at the Durham program, and what they did is they had a session just for employers, and it's a working group. And what they do is they formed, and sometimes it takes a little while to do this, they form a working group of employers in the community, people that may be interested in their graduates. And what they have is, at this meeting, they had a drilling outfit, they had a water treatment place, they had an environmental firm, they had someone from the Workforce Investment Board. And they were able to bring these people together, and they had a little
a
talk with them. They
need in your
they served some refreshments, and they also
or post your
talked about their program. They talked about their curriculum, and they asked some of these people
LB.
To actually participate in their program so that the people bought into the program. So to the extent that do you have any local employers in your area that may be hiring environmental people?
We do.
We actually are leveraging with other. We are a multifaceted nonprofit.
Want to know what's happening at City Hall? Sign up for e-notify at longbeach.gov.
The best thing,
recycle your yard trimmings.
The best thing you can do is try to identify those people that you might want to work with you and invite them to a little round table that you might have. You might call it a little strategy summit. And what you want to do is ask them for their input. Are they interested? What type of people would they be interested in hiring? What kind of skills do you think that they should have? And so what you do is you get the employer to kind of bond with your program. And they will then, once they take ownership, and then you try to get them to some of the sessions. And if they can sit in, in fact, the best strategy is if you could ask them to be a guest speaker, and you ask them to sit down and talk to the group, and pretty soon they get to know some of the fellows in the group. And then when they graduate, you ask if you could have them do an interview with them. And the closer they are to your program, the more likely they're going to hire your graduates.
Coronado
so
will
the
be
whole
a
key
community
is to start
flats,
building that Rolodex of people.
Wireless
did someone just join?
Debbie Weeson.
Hey, Debbie, do you hear that background? Someone, I think, put us on hold, and we've got their radio playing.
Yes, I do hear the radio in the background.
Yeah, we're trying to talk above that until they take us off hold.
Okay.
Sorry for this interruption. What we're discussing is how to
or call
get the local employers interested in your graduates and into your program, and also
yep.
to use them to try to determine what courses you should teach. And do you have any ideas to throw out on the table?
Graffiti hotline.
I'm doing this in terms of because I would be actually sponsoring the courses. In my case, it would be working through Wentworth or another facility. I'm just trying to just learning about. I would provide the client, if you will. It was talking about leveraging resources and sustaining it, so I wasn't sure what I might learn from that, but I don't. We probably won't be teaching, or coming. Even if we teach them here, we won't be coming up with a curriculum.
Right, right. So in that case, it's not something you're involved in. But we found that, and we're going to talk about some leveraging resources. That's what our session is going to be about today. But we wanted to talk about, just briefly, about how do you get the local employers to buy into your program and how you determine your curriculum. And again, the best The best strategies we found from all of our brownfield grantees, the ones that are most successful, they will try to find employers and they will flat out ask them what courses and skills would you like us to teach. And they'll develop their curriculum around it. Now, the EPA does require hazmat as a requirement. But other than that, if you find a, we had a tank manufacturer in East Palo Alto and everyone needed confined space and Hazwoper, and they were willing to interview everyone that came out of the program because they had those particular two certifications. You may find in other parts, it might be transportation, they may want a weatherization course or a confined space course, certainly Hazwoper, and then
I spoke a little out of turn. Because we do teach a CDL class, and we do have hazmat. We've actually just had it incorporated in the class for so many years that it just made sense to me. It wasn't something that an employer said. I was just trying to spread the possibilities, if you will, of employment. And there's a local employer here, Burke, who has hired people because they do have hazmat in addition to the CDL B class license.
LBDS now and that may be the answer. If the person may say, we just need someone with the CDL and we need hazmat and we may want them to have something else, confined space or lead or whatever. And you might have someone else who says, well, I don't care about CDL, but I need this other course. So then you use those as a guide to develop the curriculum. But again, the real answer is trying to get the local potential employers on your board or into your program as guest speakers, and a good way is to invite them to speak about what they do. Another thing to do is to have little employer coordination meetings where you have local employers, where you're just describing your program, and then while they're there, you try to solicit their input and have a little roundtable of what could you be doing to be responsive to their needs in terms of hiring people. And you'd be surprised at how much that they would like to work with you, because they're looking for a talent pool that really isn't available. It's very hard to just go out and put an ad in the paper and get people with these credentials. So if your program is delivering
the other thing that we have been able to leverage here is that we do job fairs for veterans. And for example, Next Step Living, which is a green company we work with, just by the fact that they attend the job fair, has given us a forum to have conversations with them. That has also been, at least for our agency, helpful of who said, you know, that they would be participating in the job fair. So at least we knew they had that first level of interest in hiring veterans, and then we furthered the conversation. And now, for example, we're a closer partner with Next Step, but it had to do with participation in our local job fair.
And that's the whole idea of just getting out there and trying to get out into the community as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Are you funded through Veterans Administration in any way?
The agency does it. I don't specifically in my school, but they fund my agency, New England Center for Homeless Veterans, yes.
9 a.m. and 4 p.m. is VA is in the turning out to be a good source of funds. And one of the things we wanted to talk about today, and we'll probably continue next time, is last week we talked about startup funding using foundation money and community money, which is the easiest money to use because it doesn't have all the constraints that federal money has on it. The next step is to go to state and the federal money. And when we look at state and federal money, it usually it comes in two directions. One is the state legislature will actually legislate a certain amount of discretionary funds for different jobs programs. They might be in two forms. It might be reoccurring budget that occurs every year, and that's the best money to have. And then there's also the discretionary funding that a state has. And those are for nonprofits. Some people say they're more political. They're almost like the, some people say the pork or the set-asides or whatever. But either one of those are very good funding sources to go after because they tend to be longer term than, say, an EPA 2-year program or a Department of Labor 3-year. they'll go on forever. If you can get into a state reoccurring budget, that could go on forever until...
I think my agency has, actually. We get X amount of money from, like, Department of Veteran Services. That you're right, it seems to have gone on forever. I've been with the agency 7 years, but I think they had it years before I got here.
Right. It's an excellent source of funds. And,
yes.
Now, if you're on the outside and you don't have it yet, the question is, how do you get into it? And generally, the answer is you need to get to know a state senator, a state legislator that will introduce you into an appropriations bill.
And oh, we are. We are through Department of Veteran Services. It's just it doesn't specifically fund the school. What one VA fund, the VA per diem, does help fund training and employment, but the historically, our line item that you're referring to has gone to case management and operations at our agency, not the the Veterans Training School. But they, I've been told that that may be shifting in another year, so we shall see.
Yeah, there's a tremendous cutback on state funds. If you're on the outside and you don't have funds yet, one option is to try to get a state legislator on your board or interested in your program. And then at some point, when he really sees the good work you're doing, try to get him to write you into an appropriations bill.
Yeah.
Now, this is very difficult at this point in time because they're cutting back, but it's a strategy that works, and you might get lucky, or it could be that they're phasing some programs out, or they feel a job's a priority program, and you may find yourself written in. And there are states like New Jersey that they've been written into the program, and they're just doing very well. And there are no strings attached. You don't really have to write a whole lot of reports. You don't have to justify your funding. You don't have placement quotas. You would have to keep up with reporting what your progress is and doing good work. But it's just a great way to sustain your program.
Looking for
now,
employment?
A lot of state legislature money also comes from federal money. Now, usually when the federal money goes into a state, you've got the state appropriated money from the legislature, but then you've got federal pass-through money, and that comes in block grants. Usually when the feds pass on money to the state, what they do is they'll give it to the state, and then it'll go into an agency, whether it's the DNR or the HUD or
the HHS,
it'll go into one of the state bureaucratic state agencies. And the way you approach that money, it comes in block grants, and then, of course, the state has to subdivide that into grants to different agencies and nonprofits. And the way to go about that money is then you have to work not the legislature, but you're really working the state agencies. And you have to go in and work with the DNR, or you have to work with the Health Human Services or Department of Economic Development, or the Department of Commerce, and you have to try to sell your program to that state agency. And that's a different path of the money. It's really, it's federal money, but it's federal money passed down to the state agencies and then passed to the nonprofits. That, believe it or not, is actually still better money than going directly to the federal government for grants, because it's less competitive. I don't want to say it's laundered money, but it's money that goes through the state, and you don't have direct audits from the feds. You might be audited by the state, but again, you don't have the severe requirements that you might have on federal programs. Ah, the music stopped. Okay.
Yeah, finally they got back online.
Don't put us on hold because we get music. So what we were talking about is that when we're talking about state funding, you can get, oh no. If anyone's online, don't put us on hold, please. Okay. We're getting this music when we get put on hold. But we've got the state-funded mandates through state appropriations, and then we've got the federal money that passes through the state bureaucracy through the federal agencies. And we just talked about how when it goes through the state legislature and they appropriate money, it's either in the reoccurring budget or in discretionary funds. In either of those cases, while you'd like to get in the reoccurring budget, if you could get it discretionary, either way, you have to get to know a state legislature, and you have to get your bill introduced into the appropriations. And of course, as we said, the strategy there is to try to bring on some state senators, a state congressman, onto your board as advisors. And they'll love to do it because it's a jobs program, particularly if you're working in their community. Invite them to some of your programs. You can't be timid. You have to invite your employers, as we discussed earlier. You have to invite some of your state officials. In fact, most of your state senators and congressmen, and even your federal congressmen, love to be at your graduations because they want the photo op. They would like to have that picture of your graduates and them giving your graduates certificates. And so don't think that your program isn't important enough. And even if it's small, 10, 20 people, they love to have that photo op. And when you go to the state legislatures, they love it even more because to them, it's their community, and they want as much visibility. So if you asked a state senator and you told them you had a graduation program and what you were doing in your program and you're having a graduation on the 20th of June, they will be there, and they would love to take pictures with your graduates. They would probably love to sit in on some sessions. Now, once you get them to your programs, one or two graduations, ask if they can be on your board. And the beautiful thing about having a state legislator on your board or on your advisory board or even coming to your programs, when you get to know them well enough, you start asking them, do you know of any state programs that could help us? And the nice thing about state legislatures is they have information access. And we talked about the two sides of the fence, the state appropriated money and the federal pass-throughs. The state legislator will know about the federal pass-throughs. For example, they may very well or can find out what kind of block grants went to the state agencies that might be applicable to your job training program. So what they'll do is they'll say, well, state budgets are really tough right now. We're not really taking on any more discretionary or reoccurring appropriations to any programs. But I'll look around and I'll find out what agencies may have some block grants. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, it could be that the Department of Environment might have some money, or HUD, or the Veterans, or Economic Development, or the Department of Commerce. He may find a little pot of money that is block grants, came from the feds, and goes to the agencies, and they would have money that you could then apply to. And he might say, this is the person you need to go see, and if you see them, you can apply for a grant. Now, it's much less competitive. You, as I said, you don't have as many restrictions on how that money can be spent. It opens your program, and it tremendously leverages anything you might get from EPA or other sources. So the second half is going to these state agencies and trying to find out what kind of funding they might have available for a program like yours. And, of course, the biggie on all of these is Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, certainly, the Veterans Administration, and Department of Environment, DNRs. Those are all potential key agencies. Now, those exist on the state level, and we're going to talk here just for a second about the federal level. The hardest grants to get are the ones that everyone applies for, and it's the federal grants. And there are some biggies. The biggest one is on the federal level. Now, we just talked about state funding. Now we're going to jump for a second to federal funding. The biggest one is Department of Labor. And we're talking about very large grants. Anything the feds do, with the exception of EPA, is usually tens of millions of dollars. They're extremely competitive. They require lots of partnering. They've got lots of strings attached because when the money is appropriated through the federal government, it's used for a very specific purpose, and they're required to spend the money a certain way, just as the EPA grant. In EPA, really the only job training grant that's there is the Brownfields job training grant. There is a environmental justice grant and some small grants that have to do with Superfund, but by and large, the prime grant is the Brownfields. It used to be the Brownfields. Now it's going to go agency-wide, and it's going to be called the Environmental Job Training Grant, and it'll include more than just brownfields. And it will continue for those who have not been funded or want to be re-upped. We're hoping it's going to grow, and it'll include more than just brownfields and other media besides just HAZWOPER. But when we look at other agencies besides EPA, the biggest one, of course, is Department of Labor. And they've got several grants. And what I would suggest is, and I'm going to put a lot of these things in the notes, Department of Labor has the one that's up and coming right now is the Susan Harwood grant. It's a $4.5 million grant that has to do, it comes out of OSHA, Occupational Service, Safety and Health Administration, part of the Department of Labor, and it has to do with workplace hazards and hazards you might have in workplace, things that include confined space and slips and, of course, when we talk about 1910-120 and different things to do with health and safety. All of these things you can find on grants.gov. It's a unified site that you're probably familiar with. It has all the grants that the federal government is asking for. And sometimes they call these things RFPs, requests for proposals, solicitation for proposals. They go by different acronyms. RFAs, requests for assistance. But these are all included at the site grants.gov. Another program that's very big in Department of Labor is the ETA program. The ETA program has to do with, it's one of the better funded offices within Department of Labor, and they have programs such as the Disability Employment Initiative. This is for primarily for workforce investment boards for unemployed youth, underemployed, and disabled people. That's a program that's coming up. It's $20 million, for example, that will be granted out. There's a program called the H-1B program. Some of you might be familiar with H-1B. It's a technical. H-1B is technical skills training. It was originally used to bring foreign workers to the U.S., give them visas for industries primarily in the IT industry where there might have been a shortage. And the fees for the H-1B program are paid by the employers. Well, there's a pot of money in there that allows for training. And this pot of money is about $60 million that for unemployed people, there's going to be 75 to 100 grants from $1 million to $5 million. And these four-year grants will provide long-term training for long-term unemployed people. But the Department of Labor has these fairly large grants. Another one, of course, is Youth Bill that you're probably all familiar with. And Youth Bill is a very comprehensive program. There's another one called Senior Community Service Employment Program. It's CSEP. And these are for seniors that are 55 years and older. Most of these grants that come out of Department of Labor, you have to form large partnerships, and you need to write pretty much like the EPA grant, a very extensive proposal, and be very specific. And they have very specific strings attached. But those can all be accessed at grants.gov. Another one is the JOLI grants. These are HHS. These are job opportunities for low-income individuals. Again, fairly large grants. One resource I'm going to put in the post-session notes is put out by Green for All. It's called Federal Resources to Enhance and Sustain Green Jobs Training. This was originally written by Green for All for stimulus money. But it does go through all of the grants, the federal grants that were available at the time of writing in green jobs training. and it talks about all of the different types of federal monies available and how you go about applying for them. Now, that was 2 years ago, but most of these programs are the results of acts that were passed, and while the stimulus money isn't there anymore, some of these programs still exist, and the jobs are the job programs and solicitations for programs still for funding still exist. And so I'm going to put this up there, and you can look at it, and you may want to print it out and look at it, and then go to grants.gov and look up those specific agencies and those specific programs, and it'll tell you if they are going out for a solicitation for assistance this year, and when the due dates will be, how you would apply, who's eligible, what the amounts are, and it's a great resource to try to find those grants. But the federal grants are good because they usually go for 3-4 years. They're large amounts of money. They're more problematic because they require larger and larger partnerships. They require a lot. There's a lot more strings attached to them. They often have very specific quotas and performance standards that you have to meet. And they come and you get them and they're gone. And the issue with federal assistance like that is when you ramp your program up because of the grant, you've ramped it up and you've got this big pot of money and it's great until you get to that third or fourth year and then all of a sudden there's no money and you have to find a way to sustain yourself. That's a little different than some foundation money, community money, or state money where once you're into the funding stream and they like your program, they're going to keep your program going. And the money tends to be a little longer term. So what we're recommending to our grantees is to try to do both. You certainly go after the foundation money and the community money and the state funding. Try to do that as your base. And then apply for these federal grants if you feel you're strong enough and big enough and you've got enough partners. Go for the federal funds for the home run. So you've got the federal grants that if you get them, they're great. If you're able to attach to a youth bill program, it's awesome, or a VA program. But if you're getting one that's a startup and when it's gone, there's no more money, you have to be very careful on how you use that money, and you have to look for backup funds when those solicitations end. We're way past our time. We say we're going to keep these a half hour. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties we had, but what we're going to do is in 2 weeks, which is going to be the 6th of July, we'll talk a little bit more and maybe have a little bit more open discussion on this wrap-up funding, and then we're going to go into recruitment and placement of our graduates and some of the recruitment strategies and the placement strategies. And actually, by that time, I think the new round of grantees will be announced, and maybe we'll have some information on the new solicitation for the next round of job training grants. So I hope you all have a good couple of weeks. And again, I apologize for the technical difficulties we had, but let's kind of keep in touch over the Internet. And if you have questions on assessment, just send them back to us, and we'll put them out to the group and see what kind of response we get and what some of the people have done in terms of their assessment. And we'll talk more about assessment and placement strategies in the next session. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay. Okay. You guys have a good couple of weeks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.